Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospels, we are told of an amazing event that happens during Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus had just finished feeding a huge crowd with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then we're told that he sent his disciples ahead of him in a boat across the Sea of Galilee while he himself dismissed the crowd. And then he went and he prayed. Well, in the middle of the night, the disciples are making difficult way across the sea, for the wind is against them. And as they're making their way, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. At first, they're terrified. They think that they're seeing a ghost. But Jesus says, "No, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." And then Peter says something pretty amazing. He says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." And the call of Jesus carries with it the power for Peter to do the unthinkable. He begins to walk on the water to Jesus, step after seemingly impossible step, until Peter realizes what he's doing. He takes his gaze off of Jesus. He begins to look at the waves around him, begins to notice the wind, and then he begins to sink. "Lord, save me," he cries out. Jesus grabs him, saves him, and pulls him safely into the boat. This week we begin a 3-week series exploring our vision here at Hope. Now, the vision of Hope was worded in a statement over 20 years ago that reads like this. Our vision at Hope is that we would be a growing, vibrant, praying, caring congregation, boldly reaching out with Jesus Christ in word and deed. It strikes me that a series like this can pose a danger, similar to the kind of danger that Peter experienced as he was walking to Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. As people, we are regularly tempted to spend a lot of time looking at ourselves, thinking about ourselves. How am I doing? How am I looking? Am I getting it done? How can I do better? Now, to a degree, self-awareness is a good thing. In fact, self-awareness is one of those key indicators in business of the success of a person. If they are kind of aware of themselves, that often bodes well for many areas of our life. And yet, as St. Peter found out, a preoccupation with self can become a big problem when it comes to our lives as the children of God. Keep our eyes on Jesus, and things go as they're supposed to go. In fact, we may even be found doing the impossible. Take our eyes off of Jesus and place them on ourselves and on our circumstances, things begin to fall apart. I pray that this picture will help us as we engage in our journey through our vision statement over the next 3 weeks. We start with those first 2 words that show up there, growing and vibrant. These words communicate a kind of liveliness to which we aspire. And certainly God desires liveliness, growth, and vibrancy for us. We think of Psalm 1, and the man of God who meditates on the Word of God is like that tree planted by the water bearing its fruit. That's liveliness. And yet, we have to say that not all sorts of liveliness are created equal. There is a kind of growth that looks impressive outwardly, but which lacks substance. For example, numerical growth can be a good thing. And in the church, we would say, yes, numerical growth is an important thing insofar as it means that more people are coming into contact with and hearing the Word of God. And yet, it can be a tricky thing as well. in our life together or in your lives individually. Growth in wealth can be kind of fun at times. To have more resources at your disposal, a bigger pocketbook. It can be more fun to be part of a ministry that is growing in excitement or growing in buzz. And yet the kinds of growth I just mentioned, numerical growth or economic growth or growth in excitement, aren't necessarily guarantees that the Spirit is at work in a given circumstance. Those things can be generated in other ways through tactics that we undertake as human beings. But there is a kind of growth that the Bible talks about, a kind of vibrancy that the Bible talks about that is entirely of God. A growth that God intends for every one of His children. Another word for this kind of growth and vibrancy is fruitfulness. And Jesus speaks exactly to that kind of growth in John chapter 15. Allow me to share His words with you again, starting in verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Jesus has gathered His disciples together, and He is giving them His parting words before He goes to the cross for us. And He says to them that He is the vine. He is the source of life and nourishment for the branches. And then in verse 5, He's going to say that you and I, that we are the branches. So what are the branches meant to do? They're meant to bear fruit. And when we're talking about our life together in Christ, we're talking about the kind of fruit that glorifies God and blesses the people around us. St. Paul talked about that fruit in Galatians 5. He mentioned love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Talk about a flourishing, vibrant way to live. And this is the kind of life that God intends for all of us, the kind of fruit that He has designed us to bear. So then, if that's the case, what's our strategy? Is there a 5-step plan for bearing a lot of fruit to the glory of God? Is there a seminar that we can take? Well, let's listen to the words of Jesus as we continue in John 15. He says in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So what's the verb that we hear over and over again in these verses? Abide. Some translations have it as remain. Jesus says that He is the vine, that we are the branches. Jesus says that it is His Father's will that we bear much fruit. So, abide. Remain. Stick around. Stay connected. Or stated negatively, don't fall off the vine. That's it? That's it, Jesus? Just stay connected to you? Aren't there other things that we can be doing to help your mission move along? Go to that fruit-producing seminar, learn the Ten Commandments of being a good branch, perhaps? No, Jesus says, abide in me. I am the vine. I am the source of life and vibrancy. He says to you and to me today, if you're going to be fruitful, it's because He is producing the fruit in you and through you. And more, as we remain connected to Jesus, as we hear His word over and over again, as we receive the gift of His very presence and His forgiveness through the sacrament, we come to understand that His words are true, that this whole thing is about Jesus from beginning to end. This congregation, its ministry, our life together, our lives individually, it's all about Jesus. It's His life in you that produces the growth and the vibrancy that truly honors God and blesses and serves the people around us. And it becomes a growth and a vibrancy that is attractive to the world around us precisely because it has everything to do with Him and nothing to do with us. You see, it's very easy and natural to live in a self-conscious sort of way, to enter into every interaction and every conversation with others with our minds preoccupied with what others think about us or are seeing in us. And yet Jesus is calling us today to a life of blessed self-forgetfulness. The time for navel-gazing is over. Jesus says, lift up your eyes, take them off of you, and fix them on me. Know the glory and the certainty of my love and my faithfulness for you, demonstrated most of all through my death on the cross for you. I've called you to an amazing, miraculous walk. And like Peter found out, it doesn't work when you focus on yourself. And it doesn't work when you focus on the waves around you. Jesus says, keep those eyes up. Keep those ears open. Abide in me. And as we abide, as we remain in Christ the vine, God will accomplish His work of producing fruit in our lives for His glory and for the good of others. And He'll do the pruning that is necessary to make our lives even more fruitful. Do you ever wonder why pain and difficulty enter into your life, even though you are a believer in Jesus? Well, it's true that sometimes pain enters our lives because of the sinful choices or the actions that we ourselves have taken. That happens from time to time. But often, God allows pain in our lives, not because of a particular sin that perhaps we've committed, but because He has a bigger plan for us that He's working out in our lives. In the words of Jesus, He's pruning. He's cutting away our trust in ourselves, our need to be in control, maybe our need for activity or distraction, so that He can draw us back into the life that is ours in Jesus. Growing, vibrant in Christ, that's God's will for you. Individually. And that's God's will for us as we share life together as the Hope family. May God the Holy Spirit accomplish that work in us as He draws us continually to Jesus, keeps us fixed in the vine and focused on His cross. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our vine, our source of life. Amen.